1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Democratic lawmakers are in suburban Chicago to prevent a vote on a Republican redistricting proposal that they say favors the GOP. Democratic State Texas State Rep Chris Turner.
There was a time when a Texas governor wouldn't be afraid to tell a president, any president, don't mess with Texas. But Greg Abbott is too subservient and too weak to do that to Donald Trump.
California's Gifford Fire has exploded to around 50,000 acres in Los Padres National Forest near Santa Maria. Captain Scott Safechuck says that hundreds of homes are under threat.
A portion of them have been evacuated. They're under a mandatory evacuation. And then the others are under an evacuation warning.
The search enters a fourth day for a military veteran who police say shot to death four people in a Montana bar. Shane Charles knows the suspect and says he has a history of mental issues.
He would tell us stories that he's John Wick one day, or he was the president's right-hand man.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin wildfires may be smaller than the ones in Canada and the western U.S., but as Parker Olson reports, they pose a different challenge here than in seasons past.
This year, 971 fires have burned over 2,500 acres in Wisconsin.
In the last 2 years, we've definitely seen some earlier fire seasons, so longer duration fire seasons. And typically, it's been kind of that March, April is kind of our peak, but we're seeing earlier peaks for our fire season over the last couple of years. So definitely earlier snow-free conditions across the state, and we're having fires, you know, statewide.
In the 8 years from 2015 to 2023, there were a total of 33 fires in the months of January and February. This year and last year, there were 200 in those months. Weather is the primary factor on how many fires may occur in a year. Snow plays a key role in the changes to Wisconsin wildfires. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot says years that are supposed to be colder and snowier aren't delivering the snow and temperatures that allow nature to defend against fires. On the other side of summer, according to prescribed burn specialist Michelle Witeka, droughts are putting Wisconsin at greater risk.
Climate change right now is most definitely impacting our summers. We are dealing with more long-term drought. That guarantee of, you know, no wildfires occurring during this time, because it is literally the vegetation is too flush with moisture, that is not something that we can hang our hat on anymore.
With both ends of fire season extending, it's easier to accidentally start a fire. 98% of Wisconsin fires are caused by people. That's why experts say to be cautious, avoid burning on dry, windy days, and make sure the embers are out when you're done. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
The Brewers head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers open a series against the Braves. Milwaukee beating the Nationals yesterday 14-3 to complete a three-game sweep. Manager Pat Murphy says adding new talent like infielders Anthony Ziegler, Caleb Durbin, or trading for Brandon Lockridge is keeping them competitive.
You look at Lockridge and Ziegler, and they don't have very many Major League ABs. So once again, I go back to their hunger. They want to impress. They want to be here. And then Durbin's been on the bench a couple days. So he's like, wait a minute, and that matters. You know, Ortiz finding himself. So all that is collectively a healthy situation when you have young, hungry players.
NFL, the Packers taking a day off from practice. Then they get ready to host the New York Jets Saturday night. Overall, Matt LaFleur pleased with the work they got done on family night.
I think everybody's juices are flowing to get to our preseason games and get the Jets here next week.
That's the Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have more of that wildfire smoke from Canada today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high temperature generally in the upper 70s to low 80s here through the day today. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination. our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and producer of the Door Kinetic Arts Festival, Alan Kopischke, into the studio. Then Appleton Bookstore owner, Kaylin Bavink, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It is 8:06 on this Monday morning, August 4th. It is nice to have you back here up north, live from Lake Wissota and all across the state. Parker Olson is normally producing this shindig. Instead, Parker's taking an extended weekend. We know because he's heckling us in the comment sections on YouTube. But Dom is sitting in.
I am.
In his place over in Studio A1. Although, what is the correct term there? The studio's A1, but the control rooms have like some other designation, right?
I'm too new. I don't even know. I honestly don't even know.
Okay. Yeah. That's okay. You weren't told there would be a pop quiz here, so we'll let you go with that. But Dom's here pinch hitting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here, and of course, John and Gordy. From their Civic Media morning show, 6 to 8 in the Madison area, or catch it on the Civic Media app. So, Brittany, let's just get going with you because this is, am I right that this is going to be one of the cooler, not cooler, but this will be, it's going to get warmer from here.
Yeah, pretty much.
We got to warm up throughout the course of the week.
But yes,
less,
we are.
So higher temperatures, less smoke, right?
Yes, that's the plan. Let's hope it sticks to that. It's going to get sticky, right?
Okay. As sticky as a Pat Murphy pocket pancake? I mean, because that's what I'm hearing from Alicia's. She's envisioning that sticky pockets, that poor equipment manager who's got to deal with Murphy's pocket pancakes. I don't know that he puts syrup on it, though. I wouldn't do that. I'm getting no support for the pocket pancake.
Not in your pocket, anyway.
please Brittany, right. Continue with the sticky weather. Okay. You were saying.
Okay. So a little bit like syrup. That's what we're going to be feeling like later on this week and into the weekend. Sticky. But until then, still battling some of that wildfire smoke and haze still lingering. And air quality alert, obviously, still in effect until noon today. It might get extended one more day for parts of the state because the high pressure system is still here. It's only moved over a little bit towards Michigan, but it has taken some of that wildfire smoke and moved it off more towards the eastern parts of the Great Lakes. But it is still unhealthy in towards Milwaukee, the Fox Valley, even into Madison right now. A little bit of relief far northwest where it's not too bad, more at a moderate level. So as we go through the afternoon, high pressure still here, clear skies, besides the haze and the smoke filled out there on occasion, you could see it burn off a little bit. Highs will hit the upper 70s to scraping the low 80s today, so very comfortable. Humidity staying tame. It starts to increase by Wednesday. We'll start to feel pretty muggy on Wednesday, becoming humid on Thursday, and those temperatures hitting near 90 degrees as we go into the weekend. So yes, that is returning, but still staying comfortable up until today, tomorrow, and we'll really start to feel that midweek. But patchy dense fog still possible in places this morning, again overnight tonight and tomorrow morning. A lot of sunshine south today and a few more clouds hanging around up north today.
Does the increase in temperatures bring back like any shot at like thunderstorms, things like that?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't trying to depress everybody, though.
No. It's okay. We are noticing we've loved this nice spell of weather, but you're starting to see that in the lawns and things going, all right, a little rain wouldn't be the worst thing, you know.
Yeah, looks like by Wednesday night, we should get some of that Thursday, Friday, into the weekend, too.
All right, Brittany, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great.
Yes, you're welcome.
All right. Hey, remember, if you miss an episode of this show, you can always catch it as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But we'd love to have you as a follower for this show and all of the fine Civic Media shows that certainly include John and Gordy down there at WMDX in Madison. Guys, how are you this morning?
We're good.
Doing all right. Yeah. How are you, Pat?
Pretty good here. Uh-huh. It was a very busy weekend, but it was just all around the house. So partly productive, partly relaxing. Folks who missed it earlier, I've already confessed to not forgetting to take my AirPods out of my pocket until I heard all this banging from the dryer as I was trying to fall asleep last night. I finally get up and what is that noise? And it's like, from jeans, sometimes the buttons, the buckles and things like that. Right. And I go and I see the AirPod case, and then I see the left AirPod, and then I see the right AirPod. I know they've gone through the washer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this can't be good. But I just tried them during the news, and holy cow, AirPods. They can go through a washing machine.
That's amazing.
And still work just fine.
So the case, does the case charge those?
The case charges them,
okay.
Yeah.
And that still nice works, too, right?
Green light on it. Still holds a charge.
Can't believe it. Apple doesn't stand up well to anything, but okay, I'll go with that. I'm not a big fan of Apple's, so.
I joined the cult a long time ago, and now I'm kind of trapped in it. I mean, I've seen like people's Galaxy phones and others, and I've been jealous. I'm like, well, I got all. If I change the one, I got to change them all.
See,
that's how they get you.
I have that Galaxy right here. If you're on, if you're watching,
look at that.
I have the Fold. Yes, I do. So
those fold screens, they really work?
They really do work. There is one problem with them, though. The screen protector doesn't last as long as the actual screen that comes with the phone. Mm. Oh. That's the sad part. So eventually, in about a year, I'll peel that thing off, and I won't have the protector on anymore. You can take it someplace and have another one put on, but that costs a little bit of money. Can't do it.
All these things cost little bit of money now.
That's true.
What'd you guys do over the weekend?
Well, let's see.
I was watering plants because you brought it up with Brittany. It is starting to get dry again. If you get a new tree, they need constant watering to establish those roots. So that's what I was doing. Man, the neighbors were asking me questions. They just love my work out in the yard.
I just appreciate that work ethic.
Yeah.
And the other thing that started up this weekend, I haven't gone to any of these shows yet, but it's Madison Comedy Week here. So there are something like 80 to 90 to maybe 100 comedians roaming around Madison, going to 9 different venues and performing for the folks. And our producer, Dom, went to a big comedy show. Nate Bergotsky was at the Alliance Center.
Yeah.
In fact, he did 2 shows there. You went there, right?
I went to the first one, and he's a big name. Honestly, I didn't even know about him. I went with my parents, and he was awesome. He was awesome. He talked about comedy on State, and I was like, hey, we're right above there.
That's where our
studio felt like
is.
I should have got up and pronounced my name and everything. So
should have done that.
Nate Bargatze is like selling out arenas.
If everybody's familiar with him, I mean, he's done a Saturday Night Live bit a couple of times now, playing George Washington, creating words.
Crossing the
for Americans. Yeah.
Talking about how we'll have a system of measuring things.
Yes.
And it'll be called miles. All the weird quirks that we have here.
That is great stuff. Yeah.
And he's a funny guy, and he's just from all reports, a genuinely nice person as well.
Yeah.
Which you don't see enough of there. So, Dom, you said you were not familiar with him, but...
Now I definitely am, and my parents definitely put me on the Nate Bargatze train, because now I'm going to be listening to him all the time now.
I think he's got a bunch of specials on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah.
We watched one where his daughter went up on stage and introduced him. That was very cute, actually.
Oh,
yeah, it was really neat.
I think it's just great that here's a parent turning on their adult child to something cultural.
Yeah,
instead of the other
right,
way around. Yeah. Like, you know, mom, dad, can you put down Lawrence Welk long enough to listen to some of this modern music? And instead, we're schooling them. So that's good.
Well, you
so
knew that he wasn't going to swear very much because his daughter's very young and she went up on stage. So it was a great concert. And by the way, you know, you got to see this guy. He's really good.
He's very, very funny.
Yeah.
And
yes,
clean.
And he works clean, yep. Which is always great. It's like there's always like the next one that works clean. Like Jim Gaffigan comes to
yes.
mind.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
right.
when he got big, and again, just doesn't have to go down that road at all. Mm-hmm. Again, plenty of people do, and it works for them. But if you can find that lane, you can get mainstream appeal in no time.
Yeah.
If you're funny. You know,
well,
so this Madison Comedy Fest, is it for any kind of a benefit, or is it just a case of all the comedy clubs get together and this is a great little?
Yeah, I think it's that second option. Yeah, I think it's okay. just
promotion.
Mainly for the comedians and promote some of the venues. And, you know, we're like Dom mentioned, we're two floors above Comedy on State, which is the comedy club that's been here, I think, the longest in Madison. Mm-hmm. But there are several other venues around, and I think they do this every year. And there's some sort of competitive thing going on with it as well. I don't know how that all works, but
you've been doing Madison local radio here for what, 75 years now?
Yes.
So have you over that time? I mean, combined, have you had comedians on the show? And it. Because I haven't, and it strikes me as one of those things where they feel like they have to do it, but that's not their body clock, and so they're not necessarily at their best. Or conversely, they're great. Have you had comedians on your shows in the past?
We have. It's
tough.
Like you say, it's not really in their wheelhouse. It's the time of day, and then you know there's no real live audience to work.
Yeah, we're not and that so, live. So,
so it's a tough venue for them.
A little
think.
Older.
Now we have had them on, and we've played some of their clips. You know, if they've got a CD or something like that, we'll do some of that. But usually it's not the greatest thing for them.
We've had Mike Mercury on a few times way back
local.
In the past, very local. And this morning, first thing, we invited any roving comedian to stop in on the show and do their thing.
Yeah.
But we haven't gotten anybody knocking at the door. Yeah. So
they're not awake at 6 a.m.
You said there's like 80,000 of them walking around the city here.
Yeah.
Look, if anybody that does specialize in early morning comedy, I mean, they've got a gig at a radio station. You may as well get paid for it.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
And and do it that way. Whereas comics wandering off the street, that's very brave of you. I don't know that I could do that. And say, sure, anybody that wants to just stumble in, we'll give you a microphone. That usually describes like a hostage situation or something like that. But
a lot of times it seems like that.
Well, the other good thing about today is that it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
And what do you got there?
Yeah, our receptionist, Megan, brought these cookies in at the last minute, right before the show ended. So, you know, we've got something to look forward to here for the rest of the day.
What
chocolate
I thought you were
going to,
when I first saw those, I thought, oh, are those from Insomnia Cookie just down State Street from you guys? Have you ever been to Insomnia Cookies?
No, from the
Metro Market. No.
Oh, no, those are good, too. Don't get me wrong. But Insomnia Cookies, it's a national franchise, and it's, you know, you'll find it in college towns. They specialize in, they're like the Domino's Pizza of chocolate chip cookies. They will deliver freshly baked cookies.
I did not know that. That
sounds delicious.
Or
you can go to their store and get them. And, I mean, you know, freshly baked cookies.
Yes.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Is it possible to have a bad one? I just don't know.
I don't think so.
Every time I'm down there, I have to wander down and get that. And of course, you think you're just going to get a chocolate chip cookie because it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. But oh no, there's you got to get. I end up with one of everything.
I know.
And then I get home, you know,
yeah.
And Sherry's like, what'd you bring? I'm like, well, you know, honey, it was a 200-mile drive. It's 3 hours. And
just say they were day-old cookies and you got a good deal.
Yeah, you wouldn't have liked them.
Yeah,
you wouldn't understand. We're talking with John and Gordy from our Madison station, WMDX. Catch them weekdays 6 to 8, either in the Madison area or on the Civic Media app. A local update is next for some of you, and others will continue to talk about our weekends and week plans and what John and Gordy have planned for their shows as well. But first, a quick note for you about the weekend with the Milwaukee Brewers, in case you missed it. I mean, it just wasn't even fair what these guys did to the Washington Nationals over the weekend. 16-9 on Friday, 8-2 on Saturday, 14-3 yesterday. So they still have far and away the best record in baseball, and now they're on their way to Atlanta. Playing Atlanta starting at 5:40, the pregame, tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday evening on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
You may have heard of the 4% rule when it comes to retirement. After you retire, you withdraw 4% of your retirement savings each year. The truth is, the 4% rule should be viewed as a guide, not as a strict rule. For example, the rule is based on retiring at age 65. If you retire earlier, you may want a lower withdrawal rate. Your lifestyle also matters. Are you planning to travel the world or spend more time at home? Consider inflation as well. A well-built strategy usually includes small annual increases in withdrawals. But you don't need to take a raise just because the calendar says so. So, stay flexible and revisit your plan of withdrawals regularly. That will give you the best shot at a secure, fulfilling retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 25th, 2025. I have your host, James, behind the mic. And we're joined right now by one of our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools District. I want to thank Ron for setting this up. We have Melanie Hanneman joining us. She is the Food Service Director. Melanie, nice to meet you.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Appreciate the time. Thank you so much for being here with us. I have lunch lady questions I want to ask. Yes. I have so many different things, but maybe another time. Here in summer, it's great to be able to talk with our anybody in our school district, and not only getting parents and kids information that maybe they haven't heard, or with the busy summer just kind of got lost in the shuffle, but it's a nice chance to just touch base with you guys. I think that oftentimes as adults, we just kind of check out when it comes to the schools during summer, and we need to be paying attention and be up to date as much as any parent or anybody else out there. I appreciate the time and certainly appreciate everything you put into our community doing the job you're doing there. It's vital work, and we appreciate you. I see that we're going to start with summer meals. I think that's a great place to start, not just because I'm hungry. No. Summer meals seems like a good place. What can you tell us about those?
Yes. So we currently have summer meals going on. It is a program through the USDA where we provide meals free for anyone 18 and under all summer long. And it's good to acknowledge it because even when summer school ends, we're still out there providing those meals. So we provide them at three different locations right now. We're at Lincoln High School, and they are serving breakfast there from 7:30 to 8:30. So students that are coming in the morning for sports, to work out, things like that can grab a breakfast. Yeah. You could also swing through. They are outside right in the front in the circle drive. So if you and your family are out and about heading out for the day, you can swing through and grab a breakfast to go. Again, from 7:30 to 8:30. And then they are there from 11 to 12:30 providing lunch as well. So families are welcome to pop over to Lincoln High School to grab a free lunch. We are also at Mead Park near the splash pad, and we are at Witter Park outside of the Aquatic Center. And we are there every day from 11 to 12:30 providing lunches, and families get to take home a breakfast for the next day as well. So two meals, one stop, we are there.
Yeah. And it, from years past, it seems like there's another new location on this as opposed to years past. So that's really nice to see.
Yes.
It also reminds us of how in need this is and how important this is. This happens to be one of my big three topics that I care about, causes that I care about, and hunger in our communities around the whole world, especially here in our local area. And while we have Focus and we have like the United We Can event, for every event we have, there are still people out there that get missed. And a lot of the times, kids are the ones that get forgotten in some of this conversation. Mm-hmm. I was one of these kids. Growing up, and certainly appreciated services like this and things like this. I know how far it goes for our community, along with so many other kids that are able to, like you said, going in for sports or some of those. Yes. There are kids where, you know, during the school year, these are meals are counted on, and, mm-hmm. and families know that they can count on them. Once summer happens, it's kind of an all bets are off thing, and you're not sure. So having these programs around is vital and important. Just as important as that is us getting the information out there and making sure every citizen knows about this, especially the ones that could really use the services.
Yes, absolutely. And in the summer, too, we see at these parks the kids are playing hard. I mean, they're going for a day of swimming and playing at the park. So it's awesome that we're able to provide these lunches for them to grab either before or after they're playing there.
When it comes to the people that are working and helping hand these meals out and everything, we appreciate everybody that's doing that and just want to shout them out and thank them. Are you guys ever in need of more volunteers or people like that that can help with those services?
We aren't. Actually, we have a staff that are very dedicated to this. So I guess the need is getting the word out.
Yeah.
So letting your grandkids know or families at church know or anywhere in the community that these meals are there. If you drove by Lincoln High School today, you would have saw our staff member with a flag walking down the sidewalk trying to rope families in. So they are there. They are letting people know that they are there. But really, we just need help getting the word out that these meals are there to take advantage of.
And as great of a job as this team that we have here at the studios does getting information out there for everybody, we all know that word of mouth goes so much farther. Mm-hmm. So please do share this information with people, and especially people I think a lot of the time, this is one of the things I love about our Midwesterners and what it is to be a Midwesterner. Mm-hmm. We're a strong type. We do a lot on our own. We're very, good at those things, but we're not really good at always asking for help or letting people know that we need help even. We put on a good front.
Yeah.
So I think sharing this information, even with people that you might not think need the services, isn't a bad idea. It's just information that they could share with somebody else, too.
Yes.
While we're at it, I do want to also, again, thank not only the people involved in this, but the people that continue to share the information. And these meals are, once these do wrap up, though, keeping an eye on those families and seeing where else you can help or telling them about Focus or some of these other programs that we have in the community.
Yes, and that leads into back-to-school time, completing free and reduced meal applications.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of changes with our eligibility, so just reminding families when back-to-school comes, make sure you're filling out those applications so that we can meet all those needs.
Understand summer gets really busy and some of this stuff can get lost in the shuffle, but that is a big one.
Yes.
And we really want everybody that needs those services signed up for that one.
Absolutely.
If people do, is there somewhere they can go to make sure that they're signed up or a way to sign up?
Yes, they can call our office, our food service office. The number is 715-424-6703. They can get a hold of us and they can check on that.
Oh, you're good. Did you do that off the top of your head? That was good. I got it in front of me and it would have taken me a minute. That was good. Appreciate that and appreciate the information, Melanie. Thank you for that. Did want to talk a little bit about some of the changes going on with the milk distribution that's happening. Now, I'll let the audience look behind the curtain a little bit. Melanie was telling me a little about this beforehand. I still don't know if it's registered. I found this out about 5-10 minutes ago and it's still taking me a minute. Just as a kid that went to public school and we always had the carton milk boxes. Yes. That's adapted. That's changed a little.
It has changed a little. So families that are participating in our summer meal program will notice that the milk comes in a clear pouch instead of the carton. And that is a change we made, I believe, as a Central Wisconsin school, that the milk we're serving our students should be coming from the dairy farms that our families are driving past.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. After a contentious spring election, the state Supreme Court now has a new justice. Sholly Pittman reports.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Justice Susan Crawford. Let's get you sworn in because we got a lot of work to do.
It's official. Susan Crawford is now a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Crawford was sworn in last Friday at the state capitol. Friday's ceremony included remarks from past colleagues, including Judge Everett Mitchell and former Governor Jim Doyle, under whom Crawford served as chief legal counsel. Now Justice Crawford's swearing in begins her 10-year term on the court, and as she addressed the Capitol Rotunda on Friday, she gave a primer on challenging issues before the state Supreme Court. Her conclusion,
from the beginning, this court has stepped up in the moments that matter most. It has taken seriously its duty to interpret our Constitution and protect the rule of law, even when the issues were politically charged, deeply divisive, or hard to untangle.
Crawford was sworn in by Chief Justice Jill Karofsky. She's taken the seat left by outgoing Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, who had her own celebration at the Capitol in June. Crawford's win in April over former Attorney General Brad Schimmel bolstered the court's liberal majority. The race was a repeat of 2023. It smashed spending records for any state Supreme Court race across the nation. Last week, new FEC filings showed that Elon Musk's PAC spent $27 million on petition incentives during the time of the spring election. Musk promised cash and million-dollar prizes to voters who opposed partisan judges. The effort has sparked lawsuits. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Stephen Colbert has a few months left as host of The Late Show after the announcement he was let go by Paramount a couple weeks ago. Last week, former Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris appeared on the show and was asked by the host who the leader of the Democratic Party is. When she didn't answer to his liking, Colbert held her feet to the fire, and she finally said there are a lot of leaders. Sigh. Hard to believe the party is struggling. Harris was on the show to promote her book, 107 Days, which chronicles her whirlwind run for the presidency in 2024. And just like that, there will be no more Sex and the City, according to Variety. After 6 seasons of the original, 2 feature films, and 3 seasons of And Just Like That, series creator Michael Patrick King says the franchise is finally kaput for the time being. Sarah Jessica Parker paid tribute to her character, Carrie Bradshaw, with a montage on Instagram. The franchise finale will air August 15th on Max, or whatever it's called now. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have more of that wildfire smoke from Canada today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high temperature generally in the upper 70s to low 80s here through the day today. Tonight, partly cloudy, will drop to the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them. which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Poison's what you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us Monday for an important show. Measles is on the rise. Vaccinations are down. We talk to the folks at Wisconsin Watch what that means for you. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. It's Monday morning. It's August 4th, 8:35 the time. I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. We'll be talking to Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance coming up in just a sec. First, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. And this morning's edition, if you had missed the story earlier, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently completed an investigation about how a pizza restaurant somehow had pizza dough that was laced with THC, the chemical in marijuana that gets you high. Turns out there was an ingredient mix-up as a result of sharing storage space with a licensed cannabis vendor. And the oil containing THC somehow got into the pizza place's dough and made several people feel not so good. Not the good kind of high, apparently. But you can read more about that in our newsletter. And as well, there's a feature on 10 historic buildings in Wisconsin that are older than Wisconsin itself, predating statehood, and those buildings are still with us. And Selena Heller has a report on childcare provider Corrine Hendrickson and her decision to close her doors, something that a lot of small businesses have had to deal with. The childcare crisis, the lack of action by the legislature to help small businesses like child care centers, all that and more. Keep up with what we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sean Fetteplace is very familiar with all of this, working for Main Street Alliance. Sean, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. And again, you know, Corrine Hendrickson's story is one that we've been telling here for a while, but it's emblematic of child care providers around the state and small businesses around the state. Sean, this has not been an easy first, what, 6-7 months of the Trump administration for small businesses in Wisconsin.
That's right. On January 20th, the day after, the Office of Management and Budget dropped a bomb, which was that they were cutting grant programs all across the country. That impacted folks who are Head Start here in Dane County. It would have impacted 1,000 families, actually. But we also have a lot of members who were part of programs that benefited from government funding. And so that's been huge. We actually have now sued the administration 7 times because they keep breaking the law, whether it's federal layoffs. They've laid off huge amounts of the SBA staff. They're gutting our civil society. And we're fighting back. Our organization, our members like Corrine, who thank you for all you've done to highlight her story, really are working to make sure that we're holding the administration accountable, and we're holding elected officials like Derek Van Orden and Brian Steele accountable as well.
Yeah, because again, for folks that haven't, we haven't talked about Main Street Alliance for a while here, but you know, this is not your big business agenda here. And between, you know, a lack of access to healthcare, the child care crisis, rising tariffs, a lot of what's happening through the Trump administration may be good for, say, a Fortune 100 company, but their view of their workers and of what they need from government is not the same as what businesses on Main Street need. And that's a big part of Main Street Alliance's role, is reminding state and federal lawmakers that you've got a whole bunch of members that have a different mindset than the big boys on Wall Street.
That's right. And, you know, it wasn't small business owners standing behind the president like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and others during the inauguration. Apparently, our pocketbooks aren't big enough to be able to do that. And so our membership, we have about 2,000 members in Wisconsin, and they're being absolutely decimated right now, whether it's the tariffs or something that your listeners really need to be aware of, is that a lot of the bad stuff in the big, ugly law that passed, they essentially put the goodies on the front end, like the cuts, and then getting rid of benefits and stuff later on. Medicaid, for example, is one of those programs. However, the enhanced tax credits in the Affordable Care Act marketplace, where tens of millions of people get insurance in this country, those cuts are going into effect, open enrollments in November, and the actual cuts go into effect in January. And for many, many folks in the state, that's going to raise their premiums by as much as 97%. It's going to mean tens of thousands of people in our state losing coverage. And we're going to make sure that people know who's responsible for making that happen.
And it's good that you raise that point that everything in the Trump mega bill is on its own different timeline. When these cuts happen, when these when all these things unfold, there will be ways throughout the coming years that will point back to this Trump mega bill as having that kind of an impact on them. And so that explains why you've been convening, these forums across the country with small business owners, with advocates as well, to tell them that the mega bill may have been signed and everything, but that's no reason to just say, well, I guess that's it, and walk away. There's always action to be done, either to undo this or to fight for something else, right?
Yeah, I think that the first thing is that the Republicans, when they come back from their August vacation to D.C., they're already getting cold feet on some of these cuts on the Affordable Care Act marketplace, because they realize that if tens of thousands of people lose coverage in their districts, or if their coverage goes up by twice what it cost before, it's going to be very easy to point out who did that. Derek Von Orden is a perfect example. Because of the way the marketplace is done, more rural areas tend to get more generous subsidies for technical reasons. And so you could see folks see the premiums go up per year in this district by between $2,000 and $4,000 a year. And that is real money. That is money that folks will not be able to afford. And so looking ahead, I mean, that's going to be something that we're really going to pound the payment on. We've been organizing folks, not just in Wisconsin, but I recently went to Iowa, went to Minnesota. We have folks convening in Virginia, North Carolina, and Michigan through our 1,000 Main Streets program to bring people together to learn about this stuff. And we actually do have a call tomorrow. If you go to mainstreetalliance.org and go to events, we have a briefing on the impact of the big ugly bill and what you can do to fight back. So we're working to make sure that folks are aware of what's happening and they know how to contact and impact their lawmakers. I can't hear you. You're muted.
That would help if I hit that mute button there. Once again, I was looking at the website, mainstreetalliance.org, which kept me from looking at my mute button over here, and noticing the approach to small business. Again, I think of like Governor Evers when he was doing his Main Street bounce back grants, that this was going directly to small businesses on the main streets across the country. And while those voices are small, there are so many more small businesses than there are the big ones. And it really is just a matter of helping all of these entrepreneurs understand that putting their voices together, they can fight for these things that should be higher priorities in Madison and in Washington. So you've talked about at the federal level, holding Brian Steil and Derek Van Orden, to account for them. Does that include, will there be like public events, or is it more just outreach and asking people to, write to their member of Congress and let them know their dissatisfaction with what's happening?
Yeah, so I would say, I'm not me, right? Okay. What I would say is for the two of them, to Brian's credit, he did hold a town hall. He got an earful the other day, but at least he held one. Derek might as well be the witness protection program. He doesn't show up for anything. And so, I definitely show up when people have public events. Write op-ed, write LTE, talk to the local media about how you're being impacted. If you get connected to us, if you get our website and sign up, we've been really at the forefront of the fight against the tariffs and against the healthcare cuts. Our members have been featured and seen by over 15 million people in the last couple months across the country on these issues. And so getting into the press, getting into be able to talk to them directly, and then getting involved in local elections. There's going to be primaries. I know there's a primary in the third CD between Becca Cook, Emily, and Lisa, I believe it is. Get connected to somebody and show up and make your voice heard. And the case with Brian's district as well. So that's the thing I would say is that like letters and phone calls are great, but to be honest with you, neither of them really listen to those things. So you need to get out into the public sphere and really have them feel the political accountability for doing wrong by their constituents.
Yeah. And that's Emily Berge, Laura Benjamin, Becca Cook are all running in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary at this point. We're talking to Sean Fedaplace from Main Street Alliance. You can learn more at mainstreetalliance.org. One of the discoveries that small businesses are making, some of them who had been, say, Trump supporters, was thinking that everything that they were saying about tariffs was somehow going to be good news for them because they're a small business. And if more people buy American because of the tariffs, it would be good for them. And I'm picking on one particular business, the Montana Knife Company, because their CEO was so, I think, illustrative of where we're at right now. Taking that view of, oh yeah, the tariffs are going to be great for small businesses till you realize he's an American manufacturer, yeah, but he's got to import the steel that he's using to make these knives, and suddenly realizing, oh wait a minute, these tariffs are going to hit everybody in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, he also asked for special treatment for his business, which I thought was pretty interesting. Yes. Considering that, you look at Smoot-Hawley, which arguably helped push us into the Depression. You look at these current tariffs. One thing that was extremely frustrating for me in the early days of like post-Liberation Day and the sort of very chaotic, very, I would say, impulsive announcements that have been made ever since with Besant and Howard Lutnick cheerleading the president's economic illiteracy is that the way this is being done is really dumb. These tariffs, like there's a time and place for tariffs for national security reasons. China is a bad actor and they've done a lot of things that stealing intellectual property or other things, and there needs to be some accountability there. However, doing a carte blanche 30%, 50% tariff, a lot of profit margins, if you look at Walmart as an example, which is a very big business, right? They have huge production, huge scale. Their profitability is around 6 or 7%. And that has to be disclosed to shareholders. And so if they're only that profitable and you look at 30% tariffs, that the math doesn't math. And so what's been happening is that people have been selling existing inventory. And so they haven't had to jack up prices yet. And they're also in a wait and see period. And if you look at the jobs report that just got released last week, it showed essentially that part of the reason why the jobs data was not good is because so many businesses closed and didn't respond to the survey. And so that shows that this is having a huge impact. It's starting to show them the data, and it's only going to get worse as we head towards the holiday season.
Over at the Main Street website, the event that's most recently listed is Main Street Academy, How to Make Lawmakers Listen, scheduled for tomorrow. Looks like you're still taking signups for that if people want to learn more.
That's right. Anybody, whether you're a small business owner or an ally, all are welcome to join us on that call.
All right. Anything I forgot to ask about, Sean? I haven't talked to you for a while. I want to make sure I'm caught up on everything Main Street Alliance is doing here.
Yeah, I would just say that looking ahead as an organization, we always will be focused on policy and the things that impact our members. We are getting a lot more involved in the electoral process. We were involved in 5 state legislative wins last cycle. There's a real opportunity to get a trifecta in our state in 2027. I wanted to say kudos to the governor. That was not an easy decision for him, but I think ultimately it was his decision. And there's a huge slate of really great folks who are going to be running. So we're going to be working to engage those folks running for governor, running for lieutenant governor, running for state legislature over the course of the next few years to hopefully have a state government that prioritizes the needs across the government and not just in the governor's office for Main Street small business owners like the folks we serve.
It would be nice to see even better priorities in the next 2027 state budget. Sean Fedaplace from Main Street Alliance. Great to catch up with you, Sean. Thank you so much. I'm glad you were free today.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Take care.
All right. Yep. Have a great day. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jane Matinere about what's coming up on Matinere On Air, along with Greg Bach, weekday mornings from 9 to 11. That's followed by Tom Hartman, and then, of course, the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4, and then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba in the evenings. So much reason to stick around here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
as Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
National Night Out, Fan Appreciation Night, Wednesday, August 6th at 6:35 p.m., wrapping up the season with a bang. National Night Out features equipment displays and games from WRPD, a replica police badge giveaway, jersey off our back auction, and a finale fireworks show. Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Witterfield in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball and National Night Out, presented by Gamber Johnson, Tuesday, August 6th.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Showman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 21st, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We're joined today by our great friend from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. We have Reverend Beth Hevager with us.
Hello.
Hey, Beth. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I am doing good. It's always good working with you, talking with you. Nice work with the kitchens open earlier this morning. Nicely done. Beth, before we get ahead to future events, let's rewind a little bit, just wrapping up the fourth. And you guys had a lot of fun with the broad fry.
We did, and we had so many people come through, and we want to thank the public for supporting us in that way. It was great to greet everybody, and some of the local businesses helped us by donating the ice that we used to keep all of our beverages cold, so we want to send a shout out to them and thank them for their support for that. We raised over $800 in that day, and so we are grateful to be able to do something like that.
That's incredible, especially considering, and you know this even better than I do, when it comes to having an event, you really, the overhead cost is such a key part of that, doing the event, and sometimes can have a great event not even happen because of those things. But you've been able to do this in a short amount of time, really, be able to have this consistent thing that you can kind of go to every fourth, and it's really cool, you know, to see. That's money, that is $800 that wouldn't be there otherwise. otherwise.
Exactly. And yeah, we really appreciate it. It allows us to continue to offer different things like the book sale and other events that we have at the church, and to be able to be there for the community. We have a great reciprocal relationship with the ADRC. They use our basement during tax season while they're offering their tax services. The exercise group that's usually in that space comes on over to our church and uses our fellowship hall, our basement, for their exercise space. So we are glad to be available and to support our community in that way.
And you guys are not done with brats.
We are not.
No, no. We got another one coming up.
We do. On August 2nd, we are doing something very uniquely Wisconsin. We are having a brat fry and a rummage sale all at the same time, all in the same place. So you can come and there'll be some clothes, some toys. We have Christmas decorations that have been donated. We also had some donations from a local business that closed that weren't able to get rid of everything, and they donated some to us so that we have the opportunity to possibly sell that on into the public and raise funds that way. And we're going to have our brat fry. And this year we offered walking tacos, and that went over very well. So we're going to be doing walking tacos with our brats and our hamburgers and cheeseburgers. And you can get a meal that includes a beverage and chips as well. There'll be plenty of baked goods done by good church ladies. And you know, good church ladies know how to make great baked goods. So.
They're the greatest baked goods you'll ever have. Yes. Your mom and church ladies.
There you go.
These are the ones that make the greatest.
Anything made with love.
Yes. Really good stuff there. And as good as a brat is in the summer, and man, does it taste good. It's never going to taste better than when you're getting one from a nonprofit, when you're getting one that goes to a good cause. They just have a better taste to them. Somehow a brat can taste even better that way.
Yeah.
And we do want to just note with this, and I would say that most events we're talking about with the Moravian Church, if you are interested in volunteering, we are always anxious to hear from people. We don't always need people, but always appreciate people reaching out.
And we rely upon our congregation and anybody who would be willing to donate some of the supplies so that we don't have that overhead. And what we make in that day just becomes a profit for us to be able to use to do our ministry. So we've got a donation list at the church. If you're willing to participate, give us a call, 715-423-0180. That's the church line. You can find us online as well. The email address is available at our website, wrmoravian.org. So feel free to check us out. Let us know if you're willing to help, what kind of things maybe we could do to help support our community as well.
It's such a great event. A rummage sale and a brat fry together. You just need some cheese curds. You got the perfect Wisconsin event.
If somebody wants to donate them, we'll figure out what we can do.
There we go. Get a hold of Beth, everybody. Get a hold of her.
And that's going to start at 9 a.m. and go till about 2 p.m. So it's about the same hours as what the farmers market First Avenue, and we're right there by it. So you can park at the ADRC or right across on Goggins Street on 3rd Avenue South. And when you're walking towards the farmers market, walk right past us.
Get that brat. It'll give you plenty of fuel to go through the farmers market and enjoy yourself and have a great start to your Saturday. Again, that'll be August 2nd going on. And we'll touch on this more and more on our morning show and stuff and make sure we get a great turnout for that one.
And if you're going to the farmers market for the egg rolls for lunch, then stop by and grab dinner and take it home with you, and then you've got both meals covered for that day.
Yeah, and you're set. You're welcome, everybody. Yeah, you're set. Nicely done, but and nicely done by
you,
Beth. I do want to mention as well, and something that we talk about on our morning show is the book bin. That's been out for a little while. Is that still out?
It is still out. It goes out all summer. It comes out on Memorial Day weekend, and we're not going to take it in until about September 15th. So we are still collecting plenty of books. We've still got plenty of room. So if you are cleaning out your house and looking for a place to give those books a second life and someone else a chance to escape into a good story like you did, donate them to the community book sale. The bin is out Monday through Friday, or Monday through Sunday, 24/7. It's out in front of our church building in our parking lot by the glass doors off of Goggins Street. Or if we happen to be in the office and our business hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., bring them into the building. We'll give you a cart if you've got boxes and boxes. We can help you make sure that they get in, they get sorted and ready for our book sale in the fall. We'll also take any media that you have, DVDs, VHS, cassettes. We've also have people that still listen to cassettes. We love LPs. We've got lots of people that like to find the record, the vinyl. So if you've got others that you're looking to get rid of, we'll take puzzles and games that you have all the pieces for. We're really interested in getting large print books so that those who are looking for that and need the larger print have that option as well. We want to make it available for everybody.
Yeah. Those books, there's few things that feel better to donate than a book.
Mm-hmm.
And it means something. I cannot encourage people to do this enough. I know how much my mom looks forward to being able to donate these books and things right. like that. She takes very good care of them.
Good.
I think she takes more better care of those than she does her own books in some ways.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Not 100%. But.
And we love the fact that the books that we don't sell at the end of that book sale, we intentionally try to find places for them to go so that they're not just being recycled and not used. So we are in relationship. We take some of the goodwill so that they have a chance to sell them as well and support their nonprofit. We also love
listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott threatens to remove Democratic lawmakers who left the state to prevent a Republican redistricting plan vote. Democratic Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker arranged the lawmakers' Illinois stay.
You've had to leave behind your families, your full-time jobs, your communities, and you did it to protect the voting rights of the people that you represent and voters all across this nation.
Over 3,000 people who make fighter jets at Boeing are on strike over wages and work schedules. Worker Keith Gallup.
For most companies will not give pensions anymore. It'd be nice to help increase the 401k.
Two emaciated Israeli hostages being held by Hamas are shown in a video as Hamas says it will allow the Red Cross to visit the hostages. CBS's Robert Berger.
Hamas hasn't allowed the Red Cross to visit throughout the war, because that could expose the hiding place and tunnels where those hostages are being held.